Welcome to the Burden and Blessing Podcast, a study and discussion forum on the truth of God's Word. Our CPR series looks at certain topics that come up in life, and we attempt to discuss them in a way that relates to everyone. At times, we bring in the arguments of those opposed to the Word of God in order to practice contending for the faith that God gave His church. It is our prayer that you will be equipped to give a defense for the truths of the Christian faith with humility and respect.
Welcome back to Burden and Blessing Podcast in our World Religions series. I'm your host, Pastor Sam Rodabaugh, being joined by my good friend, Pastor Tom Nauman. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty great, Sam. It's a nice sunny day. Nice time for us to talk about Christian Science.
Yes. Yeah, that is the religion we're going to be studying today, which is Christian Science. You might also know it as Church of Christ Scientist. Tom, why don't you give us some of the background? How did this religion come up? Who founded it? Give us some of the history.
Okay, so the Church of Christ Scientist, or Christian Science, first thing that we need to know about it is that it is neither Christian nor science. In fact, it's pretty much the farthest thing from Christianity, unfortunately, and it's not very scientific either. It's kind of a strange religion that really got started not very long ago. In the history of the world, it's really a relatively young world religion, and it is a world religion. Most Christian churches would not classify it even as a Christian, a branch of Christianity. It more or less stands as its own world religion because, for reasons we're about to get into. But really, it came about in the early 1800s, mid-1800s. It's the brainchild of a woman named Mary Baker Eddy, very famous, wrote a lot of books. You've probably heard of her. If you haven't, go to any religion section of your local Barnes & Noble or Walden Books or whatever bookstore, and you'll find titles by Mary Baker Eddy. She was a very popular writer. She was born in 1821. She died in 1910. And she grew up in New England. She always had terrible health, and she got married at a very young age, but her first husband died in less than a year after their marriage began. Her second husband left her after 13 years, and her third husband died after 5 years of marriage. So she had a really troubled upbringing. She had a really troubled young life, especially as a young wife growing up in this area. She came from a Christian family, but she really ended up having some strange ideas about Christianity. And a lot of it had to do and stemmed from her health problems. She believed that she could heal herself and heal herself from a lot of the pain and injuries that she was going through. And she really thought by meditating on certain parts of the scripture, she could take care of her physical problems. And that was kind of how the Church of Christ Scientist was born. In about 1879, she started the very first congregation, and she was the pastor, and it was in Boston, Massachusetts, which is a pretty strange way for a church to start.
It's surprising that, like you said, most Christian churches do not consider them Christian, because especially in today's day and age, basically if you call yourself a Christian or if you're a nice person, you're considered a Christian. Obviously, we know that's not the case. Like you said, neither Christian nor science. I guess kind of you could lump it in with science fiction is what it kind of sounds like. So not Christian. It's more like science fiction. Is this popular? Do we, how big is this church today?
Yeah, it's surprisingly, maybe not so surprisingly. The devil works in mysterious ways as well. And this is certainly a mysterious religion. And it's frightening that something that sounds so far-fetched, spiritual healing, meditation, and this conglomeration, supposedly, of Christianity and science, you wouldn't think that it would gain as many followers as it has. But say what you want about Mary Baker Eddy, she sure could speak, and she sure attracted a lot of people. If you promise people miracles and you promise people healings, they're going to come running. And if you can trick them into believing that that's actually happening, you're going to get more and more followers. And that's exactly what happened with her. So she actually established this organization, the Church of Christ Scientists, and it grew. Soon it became a worldwide organization. And it's still going today, of course, is which is why we're talking about it. It grew quickly. It sprung up all over the world. I don't know. I have one. Oh, in Bloomfield, probably 10 miles from where I'm standing right now. And
yeah, I have one. I have a Christian Science reading room just maybe 2.5 miles from my house.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So they're all over the place. And you go to the place, and what's it look like outside? It's kind of like a little museum, right?
Yeah, more or less, yeah.
It has these big glass windows, and yep. you can look in and see these little exhibits, these little stands of books of the Bible and her own, mostly her own writings. But nowadays, there's about 2,000 congregations located in around 75 countries all over the world. They're kind of hard to keep track of because they do not publish their membership numbers officially anywhere. So it's kind of our best guess that that's what's going on. But they all have a Sunday school and a reading room, like you mentioned. And that reading room is open to the general public. There's no pastors. Lay members serve as the readers in their services. So it's definitely a different thing. I think the average Christian, if they walked into one of these reading rooms or Sunday schools, they'd be in for a shock, that's for sure.
Yeah, no pastors is it's a strange idea to us, especially us as pastors. But I mean, yeah, it's based off of her writings, so I guess you wouldn't even really need a pastor at that point. You know, thankfully the membership has decreased in the past couple of decades, but you know, clearly still going strong. You said before it's not Christian, nor is it science. Getting down to the nitty-gritty, what do they teach?
Well, they don't teach much Christianity. In fact, they reject what we would consider to be every single major fundamental Christian doctrine.
Not a good start.
No, not at all. So they reject the fall into sin. So they don't believe that man is sinful. They don't believe Adam and Eve fell into sin. They don't believe in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They reject the deity of Christ. They reject the atoning sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. They reject the resurrection of the dead, and they do not believe in a final judgment day.
Hmm.
So really, they have a lot more in common with a lot of the Eastern religions than they do with Christianity itself. So it's really it's a sad and confusing thing that they've taken the name Christian and twisted it into something that it absolutely is not.
What does the name Christian imply?
Well, follower of Christ, right. Certainly. That's where the name originated, way back in Antioch in the early Christian church. We read about it in Acts.
Yeah,
that's where they were first called Christians. And these folks do not follow Christ in the way that the Bible speaks about following Christ.
Yeah, certainly not Christian. How do they get away with denying all these doctrines when they're clearly found in the Bible?
Yeah, that's the tough thing, right? It's like whenever you believe in an ongoing revelation of God's word, you can teach whatever you want.
Yeah.
So Mary Baker Eddy will say in her books, and they'll, you know, if you talk to a Christian scientist today, they'll tell you too. They'll be like, oh yeah, the Bible is God's word. And they'll say, but you know, God also speaks to us through, you know, Mary Baker Eddy and some of the other leaders in our church. And he's continuing to reveal himself in visions and in meditations and in lots of ways today. So when you, and really that's kind of the crux of all false religions, right? Is they believe that God speaks to them in ways outside of the Bible. Mm. And as soon as you do that, you can make up whatever you want. There's really no end. You know, it's a slippery slope, right? So She'll say the Bible is her authority, Mary Baker Eddy, and this Christian Scientist, but really, you know, they'll also claim that the Bible's contaminated with hypotheses, and, you know, some of these things are, they're right and some are wrong, and, you know, some of it's out of date and some of it needs to be more progressive, and really it's hardly a confession that the Bible is truly God's word, inerrant and infallible, like we would say.
Mm-hmm. And not only do they, I guess they don't, yeah, they don't believe in the Bible's infallibility as we do, but they also believe that in order to properly understand it, you have to have her book. It's like the Bible's locked, and Mary Baker Eddy's book is kind of the key to understanding it all.
Right.
So I'm walking down the street. It's Sunday morning. I skipped my own service because I didn't have a sermon done. I decide, hey, maybe I'll duck into the Christian Science church service. What could I expect to run into?
Well, you could expect a call from your church council, I imagine, wondering why you didn't show up for church.
Yeah.
That would not be good. But yeah, if you went into a Christian Science church, they all follow the same identical pattern. They have a reader, and so it's a lay person, right? They don't have pastors. They have a reader who reads out loud a portion of the Bible, and then they have another reading from Mary Baker Eddy's book, which is titled Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures. And that's pretty much it. That's what you're going to get at a Christian Science service. So there's no singing, there's no hymns, there's no liturgy, there's no sermon. It's reading. Reading and meditation. So meditation is huge in Christian Science. It's a big part of what they do. They believe in the power of the mind, and it's a big emphasis in their services, and it's pretty obvious from the way that they conduct their services. And that's the same pattern that you'll get Sunday after Sunday, year after year. It's not exactly the most edifying experience, I would imagine.
No, kind of a big red flag if they're reading God's word and then Mary Baker Eddy's word and putting them side by side as if they're equal. Little tip for you out there, if you're in a church and they're reading some person's writings as if it's God's word, you should probably just turn around and leave. Don't worry about the side-eyed looks that people give you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay, we can expect the Bible, a little bit of Mary Baker Eddy's writings. You know, one of the hallmarks, the foundation of Christianity is law and gospel. The proclamation that we are dead in sin, and also the proclamation that Christ has raised us to life through his suffering, death, and resurrection. Is there any bit of that at all? You know, I guess I'm looking for a silver lining in this Christian Science. You know, and maybe they have some law and gospel. I guess I already know the answer probably, but, you know, is there anything, law and gospel, sin, grace, anything like that to be found here?
Well, if you're looking for silver lining, that, of course, is going to be the fact that the word is present, right? Anywhere the gospel is being proclaimed, even if it's taken a back seat, unfortunately, to this woman's writings, it's still there. And the Lord promises to work through his word no matter what. He's going to accomplish his purpose for it. So if the word is there, we can have faith and know for sure that the Holy Spirit is there working. And, you know, it's a tough place to work for him with all the bombardment of false teachings and theology there. But the word is there. So there will, in all likelihood, be Christians present despite all this false teaching going on. But for the most part, the answer is no, right? What do they believe? Do they believe in law? Do they believe in sin? Not really. You know, they don't believe that there can be such things as disobedience. Really, it falls back to the fact that probably the weirdest teaching of Christian Science is that matter and evil and disease and death, that they're not real. Remember I said before, they focus so much on your mind. They literally believe in mind over matter. You know, we say that to, you know, people when we want them to toughen up, you know, like, hey, it's not that cold out here. Mind over matter. You know, but
get over your cancer. Mind over matter.
Yeah,
that's right. That's what exactly. They're saying. Yeah.
That's literally what they say. They believe that there is no such thing as disease. There's no such thing as injury. And that was her whole thing, right? Mary Baker Eddy, way back when she was dealing with her own health problems, she came to this conclusion that she could help herself by focusing on God. She said, matter is error. Matter does not exist. God is mind, which is totally bonkers. So it doesn't line up with what the Bible says. It doesn't even line up with what our own consciences say. So it's the whole teaching of sin and death and consequences of our sin is totally left out of the equation, and really that nullifies the gospel. You know, if Jesus didn't come to save us from our sins, what was he? He was nobody. He was a guy who said some nice things once upon a time, and that's what they teach, basically. That's what they think Jesus was. So it's really sad.
Yeah, when you turn Christ into a Gandhi sort of character to just try and emulate, you've lost all of Christianity. You know, as you alluded to, they don't believe that sin or death or sickness or any of that's really real. You know, it's all just something in your mind. So I guess I have, maybe something kind of awkward. Last time I checked, Mrs. Eddy died in 1910. So I guess what happened there?
Yeah, right. I know. Talk about that's a pretty big hole in your theology if the creator of your religion, who denies death, has since died.
Yeah.
100 years ago. Yeah, actually, a bunch of her followers actually denied the fact that she died for a long time. Some of them probably still do. But of course, we know that she did die. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that, the judgment. That's what the book of Hebrews tells us. And even though she amassed a fortune and laid down rules for her church, they're still being followed today. We know that she did die. She didn't become God or, go into some kind of nirvana state or reincarnation or anything like that. She, unfortunately, is in the grave, and she will have to face the Lord one day, as the rest of us will.
Yeah, she certainly will have to face God's judgment one day. We know from Scripture that basically everything we've talked about so far is wrong. I was thinking of some passages. Hebrews 2:14 seems to address a lot of what they say. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through the fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Not only do we actually have flesh and blood, Jesus did as well, and not only is there real death, Jesus defeated death by dying himself. And this is, good news for us. We don't have to be afraid of death or deny that there is such a thing as death. We recognize, yeah, of course, it's going to happen to us, but it's the gateway to immortal life because of what Christ did, delivering us from our sin.
Yeah, it really is. It's sad that they missed the whole point, right? The fact that they deny Jesus' work and they say that he was just a teacher rather than a savior from sin, it takes away from really everything that the Bible is all about. Even his name, Jesus. What does Jesus mean, right?
Mm-hmm. Savior.
Savior. Yep. When the angel came to Joseph and Mary and told them to name their son, they said, name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And that was it. That's his entire work. From the moment he was conceived until he died on the cross for our sins, that was what his entire life was about. It wasn't about being a good example or being a good moral teacher. It was about saving his people from their sins, and that's exactly what he did.
Okay, well, thank you, Tom. I think we've gotten a good handle on Christian Science and just exactly where it stands before the Lord. Obviously, we don't want to mess around with any of the teachings that Mary Baker Eddy promotes, we'll stick to God's word and stand upon that and trust that where our words fail, where Mary Baker Eddy's words fail, God's word does not. It is a sure foundation for us in our it promises us eternal life through Jesus Christ. So thanks be to God for giving us his sure and certain word. Thank you all for listening. Once again, I'm Pastor Sam Rodabaugh, and I'm here with Pastor Tom Nauman. We thank you for joining, and we'll see you again next time. Thanks.
We hope that you will join us next week for another episode of Burden and Blessing Podcast. Our goal is always to bring you the whole counsel of God. Until next time, go in the strength of the Lord and preach the word.